Hello, Richard.
You doing, Ernie?
Okay, you can hear me good. I'm more than a wonderful. I'm looking forward to this. All right, let me get all set up here. Okay, go ahead and count to five for me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that works. Thanks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2. Okay, let's get us about even. All right. This is, what do you know about what we're going to do today? How did, you get approached by this?
I understand that you want to get some background on the game that we're making.
Well, yes, and there's, I want you to pull up, can you pull up anything on your computer, web page?
Me?
Yeah.
I think, I'm not sure how to switch to that.
At the top, the minimizing bar might be able to bring it down, the zoom, and then you can just...
Do you see what I'm looking at? Let me check it out.
Well, you can do share screen on there somewhere,
Let's see here.
Yeah, Zoom has a lot of stuff. We're kind of getting used to it. It's gives us a lot
of... I haven't really used it yet, except for now. What do you want me to look at? Our YouTube or something?
Yeah, I want you to pull up the website piratswithoutborders.com.
Oh, okay. Pirates. Is that you guys?
Yeah, that's one of our sites that we do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's decentralization of everything, and it's, promote, and that's how we know about you. One of the fans of the Orville, I've been a fan of the Orville and kind of, into it. And what happened was one of the fans, listens to the show and so on, and there was a discussion about the Isaac two-part episode where they're artificial intelligence. Now, you'll see on there, it's one of the letters of Captain Mark as Mark and his female sidekick Reprisal. And it's a, it's a liberty thing. We're libertarian Ron Paul, Levolution activist kind of deal I've been doing this for 30 years. And what happened was we're always into culture. We got heavy into supporting Firefly. And because of the, the dynamic there and the philosophy of the show. And because we were pushing Firefly a lot, when that episode came out and you start thinking about things like artificial intelligence rights, do they get to be free? What kind of, risk do we have on different things and so on? So it was that discussion came in. Then we found out that the Orville may even do kind of a piratey, you have Harry Mudd out there somewhere, there's some kind of pirate thing. And then also... on the artificial intelligence letter that we had, kind of warning and giving philosophy behind, this kind of stuff. And by doing the animation and having the game, you start getting into the pop culture and how we could influence and be part of and support because we did it for Firefly. And that, I've been doing radio since 2003 and 2004, we did a big fan thing and interviews and all this kind of stuff, and it went stupid. So this is where how we know about you is from our advocacy and us talking about Orville and so on, you doing the animation for the game and such. They go, you guys need to talk. So that's why we're talking. And how we do this, like in the first hour I was talking to the audience, is we start here in about a minute and a half. I go to the audience, it's pop culture. This is where all this stuff, really takes place and where you get in, insert philosophy and you start having more discussions. And then you got the side channels like games and so on, the popular things like the Orville. I'm kind of, surprised there already isn't a game. I mean, is there any Orville game kind of thing, or you're the only one?
There's actually a couple in development right now, but as far as I understand, we're the furthest along, but that's only from what we know.
Yeah, no, this is, and it's to be expected. And you're going, I think this is cool. You go to the read the letters of Mark right below the ship there. And let's see, which one is it? Is the fourth?
Real quick, do you know where how I can get to share my browser? I'm not sure. I don't see anything for that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that while we're on the air.
Well, the first thing, let's see, manage, restore, chat, record, share.
like a share screen or
there is somewhere.
All front, that's all standard. I've got gallery view so we can see both of us, but I can't.
Okay, we're starting. Here we go.
/ Newsbeat.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, A from the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Richard Grieco. We're going to, you know, we prepped the audience in the first hour, Richard, and I tell you, you know, they're interested. They're interested because we're all interested. We all like, the Orville. Orville, Seth MacFarlane started this. There was all drama behind the scenes and how, and he wants to work with and be part of and Star Trek universe or something. So we've been watching, you know, but I just got to be clear here. I'm not paying for Star Trek, you know, Discovery, because just out of principle. But, you know, the thing is that I got, you know, Star Trek Discovery at the same time we have the Orville. The Orville was to be episodic. You know, you have individual shows that kind of stand on their own and not this, you know. You'll tune in next week for the final of whether this person died from their wound or something. You know, I hate that crap. So what happens is Star Trek Discovery, great production values. You know, I even like the actors. I like the acting. I like everything about it. But the script, it's so dark and it's just weird. And it's just, I'm losing interest. In the second season, it's kind of, you know, just kind of, not as enthusiastic as you would hope you would be with the Star Trek episode. But the Orville, that's fun. That's a whole different thing. You know, it's just got a different vibe, a different feel. And each episode kind of stands on its own. Well, like all popular, certainly science fiction, there's always going to be a game. There's going to be a game. And we just, that's one thing, Richard, you may be interested in. It's called, are you familiar with Sheep at Render Farm?
Sheep at Render Farm, not by name alone.
Well, it's a, you know, we have animations, you know, on Pirates in the Break. You can take a look at it. Top left on the Pirates Without Borders, it has Precariat take the visual tour. So we have an animation that the Pirates in the Forum there did, but it takes so long to render. That's one thing I want to talk to you about, is that now they have a crowdsourcing, you know, render farm where you join and you turn over some of the CPU of your computers, and I got gazillion computers in here, turn them on to that, and you build up an account, and then you can go and you render, and it doesn't take literally 2 months. You know, you can do it overnight or something like that. So let's go ahead and introduce you real quick. I want to get into some of the technical stuff. You know, he got his start in Richard Grieco. He got his start in photojournalism in New Jersey, Atlantic City region. He moved into working magazine publishing group, producing consumer and trade magazine for the casino industry. Worked with many VIPs and celebrities, pretty much anyone who has run or entertained in the casino world. You know, he's covered them. I think Donald Trump, 2 cover shots, many interview shoots, and even did some shoots for Trump Organization back in the day. He moved to Vegas in 97, went freelance, got into teaching audiovisual arts at Art Institute and other colleges, has a music project called Fractured Vision, singer, songwriter, guitarist, got into making games while teaching, then went into teaching game. First released game, Shortest Space Retort, mobile space shooter, the world's first relaxed person shooter, relaxed person shooter. You can tell me about that. More games since, PC and Mac, POTUS Pinball Series, Orville Shooter, others. Orville. That's where we're interested. Tell me, you know, why Orville? You know, what prompted you to get? We'll get into your history on that a little bit, but the Orville and just games in general and the equipment and rendering and time and effort into this stuff. You know, give us, you know, the background on your link with Orville.
Well, I got into game, like I said, with the teaching off the bio there. And the first game was a space shooter. It's Chortle's Space Retort. Chortle is like laugh. That's where I get that from. And I've always had an interest in science fiction, Star Trek, all that. And then when the Orville came out, I was enthralled with it. I loved the show. It's a beautiful show. I think Seth has applied all his skill and everything he's learned along the way to this wonderful piece of television. And come the beginning of the second season, I said, there's got to be a game. This season sort of something. So I looked, and there really was nothing. Nothing that I could find that I could play. So I built something simple over a couple of days, and it's actually playable now. It's on itch.com, or itch.io, rather.
Okay, where's it at? What .io?
Itch.io.
Itch?
It's a itch, yeah, like scratch and itch.
Okay. ITCH.io.
Correct.
And you look
and there you would look for, well, you look for Orville Shooter, or my moniker there is POTUS.
Okay.
I don't know how I managed to get that, but POTUS is what I am there. Well, I created some games that are POTUS Pinball. We can talk about it if you want to. But as far as Orville, so I made this game, and it was really just for me because nothing had been made. I used Unreal Engine. I used a kit that you can buy from the store, and it enabled me to build something pretty quickly without a lot of stress. I used some models they took offline that were available that people were sharing. For the Orville ship and the shuttle. And then I just took the terrain and added some stuff. But anyway, my now colleague had seen that and made some comments on it and some feedback. And the only one who had made any feedback, I engaged with them, with her. And we since became partners in a larger project, which has now even expanded even further now that we've started to get the word out in terms of what our potential, what our goals are for it.
What are your goals? So I mean, it's to make, I mean, you could go, here's a popular TV series, anything to do with Seth MacFarlane, and you go, we're going to do a shooter game. Pew, pew, pew. It's, the pew fest of Orville or something, right? So, you know, it's like my grandson, he goes, let's go pew it. And I go, pew, what are you talking about? You know, pew, pew, pew. And I'm like, oh, fine. All right, you want to go shoot something? All right, we'll go out with your toy, whatever. So this is an excuse to have a first-person shooter game and, you know, get to do the controls, or is there some story that you're wanting to tell and use as a vehicle?
No, we want to make sure, we want to be very clear that this is not just a shooter. Now, what I made is a shooter. It's a space shooter. It's very simple. Two levels. It was just a scratch and itch, no pun intended. And then when my colleague found it and we got going, we realized that, yeah, we can make a game that's much more interesting, much more exciting than just a shooter. The Orville is not pew-pew. In fact, I've had one great two-parter that was wonderful, ended in a nice best ever space battle for TV. But that's not what the Orville is. Orville, I think, is more in the vein of Star Trek, where we are not a military organization. We are not here to fight. We're here to try to expand peace.
Yeah, there's not always a and war or the next war going on. You know, they got to have a war. There's a war in the war, and we got a peace in between the wars, and we're going to war with somebody.
The war and fighting thing, I actually see as an infection. And that's nothing to do with the Star Trek STD thing. It's just literally, I feel like it's people seem to confuse that if there's no pew-pew, there's no science fiction. And that's just a misunderstanding and an unfortunate just what's happened with the way that films have been made and what's been put out there. Star Wars has a big legacy and has a lot of legs. And it tends to want to put its legs everywhere.
You know, this is we're going into break. You know, you can see, you know, the rest of this conversation is going to be interesting with Richard. And, you know, the thing that I'm interested in is you have this vehicle and you could do a lot of interesting things. What might you do? What are you limited to? Is there any, you know, is Seth going to sue? I mean, you know, is he Disney? You know, we're going to find out. We'll be right back. Richard Grieco.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Hi,
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just letting you know, my name is Greco, not Greco.
Greco, thank you, thank you. I usually ask. Look,
my uncle is Buddy Greco, the jazz musician. So Greco is kind of something that's important in our family.
No, I'm hip. Greco, got it. I apologize for not asking, usually I do. On Pirates Without Borders, there you'll see the fifth letter of Captain Mark is called First Contact Protocol. And what that's about is that the precariat, you know, will have, of course, its own AI, more like Jarvis and Alexa. It's not going to be linked into the man, kiss my butt. But anyway, so you have the ship, and what happens when it goes, I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, at what point do you have, you know, freedom rights or something for your AI? So this is why, you know, the episode with Isaac, you know, was such a, you know, kind of married in this, because we ask these very questions in this, and this is where we wanted to get into. The other thing is on Build the Ship at the top center, if you click on Build the Ship, what this, all these things, communication, energy, each one of those is a category that has current technology that allows for the decentralization down to the individual in communication, energy, shelter, that kind of thing. Build the Ship is for building the ship. You know, all these different things. So as you, if you go in to build the ship and you just start scanning through all that tech, you go, woo, they got that, and we need to add that, and we got to have one of these. And, you know, so it's just that kind of thing to where we're actually building the ship. If you watch top left where it says precariat, take the tour, then that's where you're getting into, you actually see the animation that we've done. So it's, you know, we're having a lot of fun with this, and I'm just glad that, man, I got way too many mouses here. Let's see, cancel. There, okay. So this is, you know, I'm hoping, because we're such fans, if we had this opportunity, a guy doing a game like with Firefly from the beginning, we're like, woo, we got an audience. We want to help. We want to promote. We're going to, woohoo, let's go get some. But, you know, we'd like to, you know, just be part of it. And we got animators. You know, there's people that can help and render farms and crediting and do it. I mean, you know, so this is, we could have, you know, the precariat out there harassing the something. I mean, you know, it's just, so anyway, so we're having fun with it. I wanted to point that out. Now, is there a web page that you want me to go to that represents what you're doing, or you can pull up the game?
I would pull up the YouTube. I think you have the link there. You want me to pull it up? Because I'm not sure I can show you.
No, I can get it. I can get it. Donna, do you have the YouTube? Wait, well, she's not in here. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Richard Greco. I get that right? Greco.
You got it.
Yeah, I got to say it right. Greco. Yeah, you have a, you know, a semi-famous jazz singing uncle or something. You know, give a little shout out to him.
Well, and he just passed away a little, that's about 2 years ago. He was known as a singer, musician's musician. And that's coming from people like Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and those guys, who saw him as a true musician because he played piano at world-class level, and as well as a world-class singer.
Well, what was his name?
Buddy Greco.
I'm sorry?
Buddy Greco.
Buddy. So
yeah,
Buddy Greco.
He was in some films, although that wasn't his thing. He was, you know, he was in the Rat Pack, basically, but wasn't really the main guy with one of them in terms of people don't think of him with
the Rat Pack. He was at the parties. At the party. Okay, now we're going to...
He was musical director for Benny Goodman at 15 years
old. Oh, that's back in the day, man. Benny Goodman.
Idea.
Damn. Okay, now, you're not seeing what the audience is seeing. You know, we got another channel up here where we have the actual video that I'm just going to play. It's like a minute 40. And and I guess we could do sound if we really want to. But what I wanted to do is make sure the people see just you're starting to get, you know, the game going here. And let's go ahead and pull that up. We have dreams to explore, and I want to talk about each of these phrases. We have dreams to find new life and meet new civilizations. Okay. You have been assigned as the acting captain of the Orville. All right, cool. You know, gain the trust of the crew. Is this one of the goals? Yeah, as a pirate captain, get trust. Don't blow her up, okay? And then, and you start seeing some of the animation and you're running through the ship and you go in different things and do stuff. Now, the actual creating of the ship, you know, I can see, and you got different things, and you're shooting. You got the shuttles going down, and you'll pew, pew, pew in a little bit, and you're going through space, and you're warping out of whatever. So the thing is, what do they call it? Quantum drive, okay, the quantum drive. So this is, you know, it's fun, but what's the storyline? What are you trying to say? Right, what are you adding?
What you're looking at there is a tech demo. It was more to show us what, you know, the direction that we can move in graphically and in terms of mechanics. So there's not really story so much in that, although there is a mission, of course, where it's not just about shooting. The shooting part is just part of the process to get to what you need to do in the mission. So it's a required part of the mission, not something that we feel is the important part. It's just part of the experience. In terms of the overall game, I actually have something here I want to read. So basically, Orville Crew is about player gaining trust and reputation with the crew. A player chooses a career path for the player progression, and skills relates to the story end game. The game has an arcade and other gameplay elements, utilizing a simulation room. The missions, not simulation, are tied to a simple reputation system. Because this is about earning reputation with the Orville.
Which means what? Reputation. Wait. We got to get back on this reputation thing. This is one of the letters that we're working on for letters of Captain Mark, you know, on the Precariat pirate ship. And it's reputation was a big thing then. It's a big thing now. Reputation is in gaming. I'm wondering... The reputation, is this it's not how many aliens you killed or something, it's a reputation score? Or is that,
it's reputation. Actually, there's a bit of a class system. So you have medical, you have navigation, you have a command, et cetera. And then you can earn, there'll be a basic skill set that applies to all classes, that you can earn skills and achievements. And then there'll be special ones that gain you rank and earn you reputation. We have what's called TF, which is a trust factor. So you gain reputation, you also have to have trust factor because the crew trusts you. You're a cadet in the sense that you have training, but you still have to prove yourself. So you have to earn the trust because trust is earned. And the trust goes towards reputation along with the other factors that we're still sorting that out.
You know, we're thinking along the same lines. You know, I show it on Pirates. The reason we have all these different categories has a different color scheme. It's just like your engineering and, you know, energy, propulsion, medical, you know, that kind of thing. We went through the color scheme on that on purpose because we have these crossbones that you have the skull and crossbones, these pins that we have, like, I don't have it on my tie now, but the, you have, the crossbones are different colors. So it'd be like what you're saying. If you're communication and what? You know, you got like different colors, and we have, like you can see here, you know, these little crossbones that we have, and they're, you know, various different colors based on, this is yellow and green, so shelter, food, and water. So this is like an agricultural one or something like that. So a lot of the, you know, supporters, they want their different crossbones to signify their expertise in a particular field. So we're going, oh, so you got, you know, you're building up reputation and trust levels on these different things. So this is
right.
Yeah, see, we're with you, brother, man. You know, we're thinking along the same line. All right, so
that's, you know, it's universal, and I think part of why Orville really works, it's a universal show. It addresses basic human stuff and makes it entertaining. And uses aliens and stuff to tell a story.
Yeah, and that's one thing I don't want to bring up, you know, this too much, but I kind of chuckled when you did STD, you know, Star Trek Discovery. I guess that's I got STD all over me, you know. But anyway, so STD is not like that. It's something else, and it's kind of dark, and I go for, you know, a feeling, an entertainment. I enjoyed myself. I don't want my money back. I mean, something, you know. And Orville kind of gives that to you. When you're doing the game from that and the fans from that, what's their mindset? How many people are involved in the game or supportive of it or commenting? And if we go to the, you know, the website where the video was, I'm wondering, you know, what kind of comments you're getting and so on. Who are these people?
Right. Well, we have a Discord, and we actually got some exposure. Somebody, a podcast on YouTube, guys did a video for the game. And we had a bunch of people helping us out now in terms of ideas, giving us feedback on the ideas that we have. And we're actually pretty close to pulling it all together now with all the help that we're getting in terms of charting the final direction in terms of the goals. We're looking at a playable demo within a couple of weeks, potentially, or sooner even. I'm not going to.
Well, how many people are working on it or rendering?
Oh, good question. Now, the thing, you keep bringing up rendering, and I'll roll that into the answer. There's two of us. The other person is a CG Projects Effects, is her screen name. And she lives over in New Jersey. I'm over on the other side. Of course, we connected through the internet. But there's really no rendering per se with the green pencil.
You know, I want to talk about that when we come back. Gotcha. You know, me throwing that around. Because I do some video processing, but I had no idea that what you're doing, how much, you know, time it takes and processing power it takes, and how, you know, if somebody's interested in this, they can help and crowdsource their computer on. We'll talk about that more with Richard Greco when we come back. So when you put this out, you did a little Discord, you start, you know, this, and this might, you know, get you a little of attention too. And what are you looking for? What kind of help do you need?
Ultimately, we want licensing. We want to work with the, you know, Powers of B, Fox, Disney, and actually
good
have
freaking luck. Good right. Freaking luck. Why are you even wasting your time?
Yeah, wait a minute. It's not put a kibosh on us already.
Well, no, I'm saying don't be kiboshed by him. Just do it. You know,
the things we're doing it where we're actually. I don't know how much I can say. All I can say is that we've got a nod that they know what we're doing, but they have not tried to shut us down. I see that as a positive.
You know, the thing is, it's kind of like what Paramount did with Star Trek. They kind of let it go, started getting popular, and they're doing, you're not allowed. And then he had negotiations and back and outs, quit it, and lawyers. And I'm going, that's how you kill this kind of crap. If you're dependent on someone else.
We'll throw it out there. It's kind of obvious if you do this stuff that once you build the game, the engine, the mechanics that is the game, you can change out the assets. It doesn't have to be based on the Orville. You can base it on a whole new concept in terms of your own theme, your own characters.
Yeah. No, well, see, that's another thing, is what kind of freedom is that, where they, you know, all of a sudden you make, Bordas, you know, goes female or something. I mean, I'm just wondering, they get pissed off. You know,
you change it up enough so that there's really not a conflict, and it's, you still keep the heart of the game.
I'm saying that, you know, if you change up anything, and they're going to try and put some criteria. No, you know, this person shall never do that, or the doctor's not allowed to become a prostitute. I mean, you know, I'm just
there'll be restrictions, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
they'll want certain things to be certain ways. Well, I would expect maybe some of that, but I don't know how much they would engage on that, because.
Yeah, you'd hope they just leave you alone, and you would think that Seth MacFarlane, of all people, would understand this.
Yeah, it's an area that we haven't explored too much in terms of thinking about.
How much is control does he have over this? He's beholden to what? MacFarlane.
Yeah, in terms of over what we're doing, I don't know.
No. Over Orville, over that. I mean, see, my thing is I would think Seth MacFarlane going, cool, leave him alone, man, peace. You know, it's kind of, yeah, have fun, and I'll, do a voiceover for you or some shit like that. But then there's 15 gazillion layers of lawyers and people in the studio going, no, they must die a stinking horrible death, and call out the FBI.
My understanding, and this is very, very, I don't claim to know anything special, so this is just sort of a guess and kind of knowing how things work a little, that Seth has a lot of control over the show itself. It's his show, it's his baby, he created it. But in terms of what's going to happen with it and what's going to happen with any product licensing and such, I think he could have input. I'm sure he can. But I feel that it's going to get out of his hands very quickly.
I don't want something like this effort on this to be. I hate the passion of something that I can see it's going to happen with Orville. You let it go, it'll just freaking explode. It'll get all kinds of stupid, and it'll be fun as hell.
Well, we saw what happened with Stage 9, with the Enterprise, the TNG ship they built.
Okay, here we're coming back. Let's talk about it. Here we go.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We're talking with Richard Greco, and he's telling me, there's been other games around different popular series and so on, and a lot of times when we had the... God, what was it? Akinar, the Star Trek Akinar, or something like that. There was a movie, fan movie that they were doing, and he built this whole big set. It was, he wanted to be, always wanted to be Captain Kirk. He had the money, and it was getting to be a thing. I mean, it was looking good, and their Paramount's like, whoa, we're going to negotiate, we got lawyers or something. And it turned in years back and forth, out to quit it, and you just kind of suck the passion out, which is a lot of times their point. And I'm wondering, you do a game like this based on a popular series, because they're Hollywood, they can do whatever the hell they want. They'll just be pains in the butt about it, and they're stupid for doing that. Should just let Richard and friends go, have some fun, do whatever in peace, and, be gone. And if we want it that bad, we'll buy it from you, or something. And a lot of you invest in it, and that's, you'll get licensing, and you go, and it becomes a thing. So as you're doing this, you're talking about some Star Trek 9 thing. What were you talking about? Before we had to go.
Yeah, there was a project called Stage 9, which is no longer available on the web because CBS put their kibosh on that. They shut them down. It was free. It was free. It was created by fans just out of passion. And CBS felt there was a conflict some way that I guess maybe they had a product in mind. I don't know.
Well, how do they do that? How do they ban? I mean, if fans just create something, that's a whole thing. The audience goes, no, don't say it, Ernie. But we're doing, interplanetary file sharing on all our stuff, the IPFS network, so that we don't have to worry. There's nothing for them to take down. There's nowhere to go. This is going to get to where it's not going to be able to stop it. Then what?
Once you're not able to, I guess you're not able to, but. In terms of Stage 9, I don't know exactly how. I did speak with them, and it came in the form of a cease and desist. And I guess it went to their website. I don't know. I imagine maybe the the provider would be shutting it down.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're pirate enough, man. We need to get you all pirated up. Right. You know? Wrong.
I don't really pirate that much. Not at all. I don't know. My thing is.
No, I mean a pirate mentality of against a permission.
It's work because you get bugs and stuff.
No. I mean, you know, like you know, the mentality of against the crown of you know, control of somebody saying what you're gonna, you know, they're gonna call you a pirate because you're gonna do what you want to do,
and they get all, pissed off.
But you know, I'm you're looking for support, but there's a lot of effort that's going into this, you know, yes. And it's all based on whether they give you a nod or work with you or not, and it depends. You go, well, we're just a little nothing, you know, don't worry about it. Nah, we're not gonna give you permission. You're a little nothing. Or hey, we got a big thing, got some talent. We're kicking ass. We got, you need to work with it. Nope, we definitely don't want to now. I mean, I'm just wondering, and the fandom that I've seen over the years, this happened. I remember a guy did the Star Wars. It was a scene where he played Kylo Ren or something, and he, you know, was going up against the Emperor, and he was fighting him. Have you ever seen, you know, this one episode? It's like a 20-minute short. It was awesome.
I have to be honest. I don't watch the new Star Wars.
Okay. Well, it was like, you know, it went SJW and it went down the wrong path, and we hate Star Wars. It sucks. It should have been like this, where Darth Vader. Oh, it was Darth. Darth Vader was pissed off that his wife died in childbirth. Earth, so he comes back, he's going to get, it starts there, and he, you know, is going to kick butt on the Emperor. Well, it was awesome scene. It was like, I don't know, 15 minutes short. Oh, the man didn't like that one little bit, you know. So here they come, demonetize the site, they do, and it was awesome. So I see all this talent that's out there, and I'm wondering, you know, how you put your passion into this thing. You would think they would support you. You know, you would hope they would. Or hell, they just leave you alone. I'm just for leaving you alone. So what kind of response have you gotten, you know, on the sly about their are they aware of what you're doing?
Yeah, I was saying earlier that that it's been to come to our attention that they are aware of what we're doing. They're seeing it. And I guess maybe I can say this much because it's kind of been aired already. That we have to wait to see what happens with the next season or not.
What do you mean the next makes season? Sense you, mean whether they even you mean whether they even have a next season?
Yeah. And we all assume there will be because the ratings were pretty good and they have gotten better even. So, but if there's not, then I guess obviously that's an issue. But anyway, the idea is everything's sort of in a limbo right now in terms of, I guess, us being able to talk to anybody. But they do know what we're doing, and we have not received the cease and desists.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk about the fans and the people's participation. You know, we had one of the comments up here. I was gonna read, but what kind of input have the fans had? They want you to. Is there pressure to take it one direction or not, or to build out a new character or do something? How close do you got to follow it?
I have to be honest, the fan input has been fantastic and very in accordance with what we're looking for. I mean, basically we put it out there what we wanted to do, and they fell in line with offering suggestions and ideas to realize that. I have to be honest, I mean, me and my colleague have really put a lot together in terms of helping to make that happen. So we're getting what we want out of it, I guess. The goal of, you know, the reputation and people have really embraced that because it's inherent in the show.
Here's a comment here. It goes from Randy Rhodes. He goes, "The moment I saw and heard of this, you got my attention. I so want this to happen. With a bit of tweaks to the frame rate and graphics on the lower decks, the game can look and play exceptionally well. You have my support right off the bat." Now, then you have, you know, and I hate being this, you know, I don't want to be, you know, what, you know, I accuse so many people of being, is this cooler thing. You know, my thing is don't allow the coolers. You know, I don't want to be a cooler where you kind of, oh, you know, are you sure they're going to let you, are you, you know, be a wet blanket kind of crap. I'm like, don't worry about it, just freaking do it, and it's awesome, and just keep, and there's all kinds of places and ways, and it's none your business, and we just did it anyway, and go sue the cloud vapor out there somewhere, and maybe you'll find somebody. So I'm for not caring, you know, but the point is that when somebody somebody comes in and they do, we call them coolers in politics. They go, are you sure? You think you might need the permission of the man? Did you get your permit? You know, that kind of thing. Well, here's one guy doing this. This is what he says. I would be very careful if I were you guys. If you are doing this without the authorization of Fox Disney, then you are running a significant risk of getting it shut down. I understand that this is about the fans and the love of the show, and it honors the fictional utopia Gene Roddenberry created where everything is free for use by anyone for any reason. But in the real world, companies actually own intellectual property and have the right to control what is done with it and to it. If you are doing this without official authorization, you're already in violation of copyright, and you need to be prepared for the very real possibility of being shut down. And the fans of the Orville who are following you need to understand that this can and likely will, and it goes on. And I've seen too many blah, 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 blah. Definitely cooler, definitely a lawyer, definitely one of the guys, definitely planting the seed of doubt and fear, uncertainty, and doubt, flooding of definitely, okay? This is, there he goes, and you put it, so I'm going, what's his name? Open 8D1, 8D1, screw you, man! Don't let it enter into your thought process. You see, this is why I wanted to have this conversation with you guys, because this is, it's getting to the point where, and of course it's on YouTube. So what's YouTube going to do? Oh, it's a copyright violation of, you spelled Orville right. I mean, I'm just, the fact that you even get on and you're worried about that, you already lost before you started. You see my point?
Oh, I totally get it. And in terms, I know the comment you're speaking of, because that pretty much stood out.
Of course it did. It was meant to. This guy, that guy's paying, getting a paycheck from Disney or something.
I got a simple answer to that one, Ernie. Tell me something I don't know, Captain. Obvious. We know this. You don't do a passion project like this and let that get in your way.
That,
do it.
Score. That's what I wanted to hear. More. Richard Greco in just a little bit.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Is spread?
Yeah, pirates, damn it! We're in Arizona Pirates here. That's another thing. This is a concept that while we're developing this and so on, this came up. Here in Arizona, in Tucson, there's a rocket company called Vector Launch Systems, and they're putting up CubeSats for communication where we can bypass the internet. I mean, it's going to be, pirate CubeSats and mesh networks, and they can just suck it. Now what are they going to do, And then with the permanent storage, and so we're having fun with that. Well, in this, he goes, I go, well, what's the law of this and kind of permission slip of, can I make a video game in space? I mean, do we have government, we're going to space and government's invited kind of crap? So they, that's why we have join us above the grid. We're not off the grid. We're above the grid because 100 kilometers up, anarchy is only 62 miles away. So 62 miles, 100 kilometers, whatever. But anarchy is only 62 miles away. You go 100 kilometers up, you're out of jurisdiction of everybody. There's no jurisdiction. There's no law. There's no gun. It's pace. I'm off the blue marble and suck it, So anarchy is only 62 miles away. So that concept right there is once you're off planet, it's like, I don't know what you're going to do now. So you need your own Orville. Right. Yeah, it'd be a little satellite, you know, like 8 inches long, like a little CubeSat, you know, little solar panels on it and everything, and you're making it, and it's the Orville, and you actually get Musk to put it in orbit, and it would be your communication satellite, or a whole fleet of them. And there, you got to get up above 100 kilometers.
I do want to put something out there that we really don't want to challenge Fox Disney. The idea is this isn't about trying to get away.
I know you don't. I know you're being open about it. I know, but I know Fox Disney. Disney Fox now is Disney, and this is just it's just going to piss me off. What's going to happen? And I'm wanting to make sure that this this impact that you're having on culture and this vector that you have for people to do this kind of stuff, and our audience is excited. You know that I am. You know, so I want to support. So my biggest thing, I go, what if I want this to happen? You know, what do I say or do? You know, what I going, yeah, you know, Richard, I'm with you, brother, man. We got to get this, make sure this happens and continues, and you get to have the input and you build and go be filthy, stinking rich for all I care. I don't care. That's all they want is the money. They're looking for the revenue stream, but, you know, going after you. But if you're having fun, I'm going, there's a way to do that. It's called ignoring them. It, you can just do what the hell you want, and you can suck it. Oh, no, they would go. Well, there's ways to structure and set yourself up and go blame Satoshi Nakamoto. Go find him if you can get him. I mean, you know, I'm looking for that kind of attitude because it's kind of, you know, the right attitude. You know what I mean? You know, but if you're wanting to get some kind of authorization, I'm not even sure how that would manifest itself. Got lawyers, you know? I hear her come back.
Without getting into upper level stuff on it, it's simple. You make an agreement. You build this thing, you make money on it, you give us some money. So you don't make it something you don't like.
Yeah. It's simple. You just talk to the lawyers.
Well, I don't have so much time, so.
No, I'm hip. This is why I want to have this conversation. I don't want to be the wet blanket. You know, I want to be, and this guy that did, man, you didn't see any comments after him. I mean, you know, they're like, and you're done. You know, that's it. It's called FUDding, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I mean, that's what that was a perfect example. Perfect example of it. Yeah, of course. But if you expect it, ignore it. Yeah, I expect this thing that's going to try and I don't care. You know, so I
actually thought about deleting the comment. I chose not to because I felt like people should be able to express themselves. So what do? You leave it.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, hell yeah. It's an example of they, them, those doing, you know, that guy, he got a stripe on his sleeve, you know, in the law firm of Disney. Seriously, that was a perfect example of FUDding. Okay.
Now you want to just thought out.
It's being a cooler. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be the bad guy, but I just want you to know that, you know, it's kind of, you get a brain tumor when you do that. And I just want you to, seriously. So it's only been, the show's only been out for, you know, the process, even though it was coming, is less than a couple of years. And when they did this, it was, you know, it kind of took a little bit to get into. You got to get used to everything. And, you know, Seth MacFarlane being a whiny little bitch a lot of times, you know, and he kind of got past that. But it was that character, and he goes in, and you could see it adds a lot more tapestry to the characters and so on. I'm really enjoying it. And it's got legs, but where is it going? You know, where do you think this is going? You know, what's their goal? What are they taking us on? You know, like the Enterprise had this 5-year mission exploration kind of thing. You know, well, they're just what? You know, what do you think the end game is going to be?
In terms of the Orville show itself?
Yeah, I mean, where are they taking us? It's just fun, and each episode is a moral tale. Is that what they're trying to get in to be South Park?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're dealing with morality plays. They're dealing with the Twilight Zone stuff. They're dealing with all this vast, you know, again, no pun intended, vast universe of possibilities that could be content. So there's really no limit to where they can go as long as they're keeping the feels and the tack that they're on in terms of it's a really positive show.
Yes, I think it is. The game, and maybe, you know, that would be their concern or whatever. I don't know. I think that they should just leave it alone, just and it, you know, support it or it's not. But the game, the attitude and the philosophy in the game, the goal of the game, and you were talking about, is reputation, which is based on what? Klingon reputation if I rip out a spine? Pick me?
It'll stem from what we call trust factor, TF. Trust factor. So you have, because trust is earned. As you earn trust, you gain reputation.
How do you do that in a game? I'm all interested in that.
Now, achievements, skills. For instance, you're a navigator. You want to improve your rank, your trust factor, your reputation. You go to the simulation room and you do some star charting without the equipment. You do it manually with a sextant in the simulation room. So you gain some points there in your skills, and that brings you up in trust factor and reputation because we trust you better now that you've done that training.
Now, if you got training to show me how to do star charting Mark 2.6 engage crap, I'll pay you for that. Teach me something.
That would be the challenge. It would be incorporated in a game fashion. I can't.
Well, that's another thing. Is there attempts to monetize? Is it just by traffic on YouTube? Is it $1.99 to download the game? Is it by donation? I mean, ultimately, it's just a game that we're making because we want to and it's fun. Or is there some revenue stream hope for?
Great question. Right now, monetization is not in our concern. We're moving towards trying to make this something that the fans like, want to play, want to support. And in that process, if we get the support from the man, then of course that's the positive. If we get the kibosh, then we just change direction in terms of the specificity of the characters and setting.
Okay, this is what's going to happen. Audience, I just want you to know before I let Richard go, is that he's going to watch the virtual tour of the Precariat, and we're going to talk. If they screw them, screw them. Got a pirate show for you, okay? Got a game. We got a bunch of people that, that's one reason why I brought up, because a lot of the times it's the capability, it's the rendering. And Cameron, certainly help, and we need help, and it's going to have some fun with whatever. But a lot of us don't have these skills of Blender and whatever, but we can lend part of our, like a SETI project, we can lend part of our CPU and our processing power to this to generate, because define for me and the audience what rendering means. I say, when you render it, it takes so much process. Right. What is that process? What is that?
The rendering, the term itself comes from art history, the idea that you render a painting, right?
Yeah.
So, who is rendering that? The person is. Well, in the case of computer and digital, it's the computers are doing it. So they're taking data, processing that data, and producing an image in some way. Now, in terms of rendering it, you're talking about, say, where you create a 3D scene or setting or a model. And to do that at photographic quality or higher levels of relative to that tends to require a lot of CPU. And we'll use render farms to help us speed up the process of rendering them. But in the case of games, we're not really doing that because the rendering happens real time within the game engine. So when you play a game, it's real time rendering of what's going on. You can't do the high level type stuff in games because it's real time. We're getting there, but it's not quite there yet. CPUs aren't powerful enough yet.
Well, how is it that, when my kids, they sit there and call of, kick your ass, World War something, SEAL team, I'm going to blow you up. And they're doing all this stuff. You have, I guess, the scenery or something is loaded into the gaming system, and then your interface with it moves. I mean, how does that work?
Well, this basically depends on how you're using your lighting. You have two kinds, real-time lighting, and then there's baked lighting. Baked lighting builds into the shaders and materials the results of the lighting, so it's there all the time and it doesn't change during gameplay. That's very efficient. But then there's real-time lighting where shadows and everything happen real-time. And the changes to materials and such happen real-time. That's very expensive. So we have to balance that all the time in our development. Somebody brought up the idea of frame rate in our demo being not so great. Well, part of that's because we're streaming and because we're running other software while we're doing it. But the frame rate is because it's trying to churn through all that data. And we minimize it, and we haven't optimized it yet.
This is one thing. I understand that, you're making compromises on, how you're going to, display it and you play the game and how interactive it is and so on. But that's really... not as important for a lot of supporters of this than it would be the actual goals or the game or, you know, the process itself, the storyline. Because what I did, I went and got a PlayStation 4 last year for my grandkids. We went and put in Destiny or something. I get, all right, fine, we'll do after Christmas. I ain't getting it for Christmas. Screw that. We'll get it on sale or whatever. So I spend like the $500, got everything going there. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't play this game unless you're online and we can watch you do it kind of crap. You know, I'm going, wait a minute, I bought this system. I paid for this game. And I can't play it without giving you an anal probe on me. I'm going, hell no. Boxed the thing back and took it back. Got an Atari that had like 100 games of all 8-bit whatever. And my old grandkids are freaking going nuts over it. They love it. The thing is that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what the game is. It's the enjoyment of it based on, I don't know, your age and so on. But it's the goal. It's the game itself, the goals, the mindset that you're having in there. That's what's supported. So, of course, these guys go, well, you know, here comes the fudding again. You're not up to speed when it goes down. Oh, shut up. That is not the point. You know, we're having fun. It's, we're filling in the blanks with our imagination. We're doing, hey, you're lucky freaking the guy's legs move when he walks. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, get that's just like, that's like a bonus. So
I understand what you're saying, and I agree a lot that entertainment doesn't have to be this amazing thing in terms of, I think it's part of the problem with the current crop of what's going on. There's so much visual and so much focus on the graphics that we're losing the rest of it. We're losing the that's why Lordable's awesome.
It didn't used to be that way. You know, I'm 58 years old, man. I remember it was that you're filling in all kinds of stuff in the skills and you know, Dragon Slayer or where the hell it was, you know? And I'm so encouraging of you guys doing this. And I want to be part of and help because we're fans of the show. And there's something, you know, and a lot of guys, there's a lot of things that we're working on, and this might be of interest to them. But I want to follow it. And, you know, we set like 3 months for us to talk to Richard again, you know, have him come back on. Because I want to follow this and see what's going on. Plus, you know, if they're going to screw you, I have plenty of fun for you. Over here in the Liberty community, we're ready to do some whip ass. They want to be go ahead, I dare you to screw with them. Make my day, Disney.
Over 60% of employers. Yeah,
if you want to help us out, we can really use some Unreal developers who know the engine and are familiar with building a game of this type.
Those that are interested, give them a way to contact you. How would they do that?
I don't know if you can put it up or not, but I sent my Discord to you guys. Our Discord, I'm sorry. I don't know if that's really the best way to interact with us because we're in there all the time.
Okay.
And that's where we're getting that's where we're getting our help for the most part right now.
Okay. What I need you to do, feel free to contact or message us at Is it Greco?
It's Greco, but Greco. You know what a better email is? OrvilleCrew@gmail.
OrvilleCrew@gmail.com. OrvilleCrew@gmail.com. And you got contact at rgreco.com. 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 Contact at rgreco.com. You know, this is, and what was the Orville one again?
OrvilleCrew@gmail.com.
OrvilleCrew@gmail.com, and you're probably happy you even got that one. So it wasn't taken by somebody already. So this is something that, you know, people have interest in this, and even if they learn or they support a little bit of their computer towards this, and they give a little bit to the Pirate Project, a little bit to you, and this crowdsourcing thing, this sheep it, there's others, because this processing takes a long time. You know, tell me when you do a rendering or you're building out and when you do a video like that, are we talking a long time? There's a lot of processing. You got like a supercomputer or something. What does it take?
No, you're talking a computer. You're talking a Macintosh tower from 2008. That's what I work on. That's really? A Windows machine, by the way. I run Windows on my Mac. And that is real-time gameplay is what you're looking at. There's no special rendering going on. That's the game.
Awesome.
That's
okay. Yeah. You know, that's one thing we need to know is how this is done and so on. All right. Do me a favor. Before I get to my next guest, go to Pirates Without Borders page. Let me know when you're on there.
Let's see.
Pirates. PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
I gotta type this in. I had it up, but I guess I'll have to. Sorry, I'm not a, for a guy with a, as a computer guy, I'm actually a slow typist.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. I'm hip.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay, at the top left, you see where it says Precariat Visual Tour?
Yeah.
Okay, just hit that and expand the page.
Yeah, let me turn the audio off on this.
There you go. I have a little audio.
Okay, I can turn that up a little. What you got? Why don't you change it? You're rocking tune there, Ernie.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now this is a, it's like 10% bigger than the Hindenburg. That whole bottom part is a cargo thing that, you know, detaches, and you can do, it's like Serenity. You're doing shipping and whatever. Now, what we're, the design contest that we have, and is for filling out the decks and so on. You know, you have like, you know, the bridge and the captain's, you know, quarters and the escape pods and the launch and, you know, engineering sick bay. I mean, you know, and there's we other videos we have too for like, the long hall room that you're in that has an atrium at top, and you know, now, and we got the hangar deck done and so on. So this is, you know, it's not just an airship, it's a spaceship, space pirates, you know. So this is what we're working on, and the point that I'm making is if Orville sticks it to you, Disney wants to play, I say F them, get your ass over here, we go pirate, we'll go blast Orville, boo, doo, 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 or something. I mean, you know, we wouldn't do that, be wrong, but the so this is so you can understand, you know, supporters of what we're doing, and we're fans of the show, that you can see why we wanted to talk to you. And what I'm interested in is how you're going to be treated and what the, you know, the future is and how they're going to let you develop this and how much fun you're going to have. Because I'm just like, I'm not, I hate this control. It squashes so much creativity, and science fiction is where a lot of people just imagine something different, and they like want to shut that down. It's like a they them those thing, you know, trying to shut down your imagination, like that freaking cooler that sent that comment on YouTube. That is neon flashing awesome. That should be framed.
Right? That is classic. I appreciate the extension there. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm all about looking at this. It's going to happen. And I'm hoping that Seth maybe has a little more influence, that he can maybe have a conversation that brings back the concept of free advertising.
Yeah.
Where it's not about controlling the message all the time.
Oh, my God. You have fans doing their own stuff to help it go. Oh, who would think of that, you know? Hell, they paid tens of millions of dollars in marketing to get you to want to do it, and then they keep slapping you around for doing it. I'm telling you, man, I'm really sick of this crap. So that's why when you go, well, we're working with it, I go, working with Disney, really? Seriously? The mouse? You know? He's Mr. Copyright of, are you kidding me? They're not going to let a freaking sliver of hair out of this one. So that's why I'm...
Yeah, I got to be positive.
Well, yeah, no, I am. I'm positive they can suck it. That's what I'm positive of. I'm positive you could do it anyway. I'm positive there's a plenty of places that you could have it and be outside and they can't do anything about it. I'm positive you could decentralize it enough that there's nobody in charge. I'm positive that there could be an enormous big giant, we're just doing it anyway, and you negotiate from position of power because there's not a damn thing they can do about it, nobody to go after. I'm positive that it can be done. I'm positive you need to go pirate. That's what I'm positive. See my point? You know,
so I love attitude. I can say that.
And if they, I'm positive, man. I go, if they're, and if they give you a bunch, I go, fine, come be a pirate, man. We're going to have some real good fun. That universe is going to explode. Hey, Rich, I got to get to my next guest, but it was great fun meeting you and getting hold of you. Donna made a point to contact you in a few months, see where this is going. But I tell you, you know, by that time, it's like, ah, screw it, man. You're doing your own thing. We've gone pirate or something.
I think we'll kind of know what will be going on at that point. And yeah, so we'll be it'll be interesting to see what we have to talk about at that point.
Yeah, that'd be really. Thanks for being patient with me and let me express myself and show support for you. And I'm hoping Seth MacFarlane has more say on this stuff because that'd be awesome. Thank you, Richard. Peace, brother.
All right. Thank you. Bye.